Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
fighting escalates in the Middle East. We'll bring you the latest.
The CDC issues new guidance for vaccinated Americans to ditch their masks in most settings.
Progress on infrastructure talks between Republicans and the White House.
And Disney shares slide as streaming subscriptions come up short.
President Biden waives the shipping mandate to fill a supply gap from the Colonial Pipeline shutdown. Plus, Speaker Pelosi calls denials of the Capitol riots sick. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Big comeback by the Knicks. They beat the Spurs at the Garden. Long night for the Yankees at Tampa Bay.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more.
And U.S. futures heading higher this Friday morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 147, NASDAQ futures up 138, and the 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.63%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get more on the markets in a minute. First, the fighting between Israel and Gaza is escalating as Israel masses troops on the border. We get the latest from Bloomberg International Editor Roz Matheson.
The aerial activity that we're seeing is picking up in intensity and, of course, risking drawing in other players in the region. We've seen, of course, a couple of wayward rockets that were lobbed from Lebanon overnight. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, seems to be holding out the possibility of sending ground troops in if needed, and they are looking at scenarios including a possible ground incursion, moving soldiers closer to the area.
Bloomberg's Roz Matheson says more than 100 Palestinians and 7 Israelis have been killed in the violence.
Back here in the U.S., the CDC is signaling a broad return to everyday life. Director Rochelle Walensky says fully vaccinated Americans can get rid of masks in most settings, even indoors or in large groups.
If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment.
CDC Director Walensky said the decision was made Wednesday. Meantime, President Biden is calling the vaccination program a historic logistical achievement.
I think it's a great milestone, a great day. It's been made possible by the extraordinary success we've had in vaccinating so many Americans so quickly.
And the president may also be making progress on another front, infrastructure. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. An Oval Office meeting to negotiate President Biden's infrastructure proposal left Republican senators encouraged about the prospects for a deal. Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia called the discussion very productive, and Biden expressed hope.
They'll come back to me with a counteroffer of what they are prepared to do and fund and how to fund it. And then we'll talk again next week.
Now, while there's broad GOP opposition to Biden's plan and his tax increases, Republican leaders say they also see some middle ground. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. Politics of another sort are front and center in New York City. Candidates for mayor faced off in their first debate, sparring on the issues of public safety and the city's economic recovery.
We have to open our schools so that people can go back to work. We're missing 85% of commuters, and that means a lot of jobs.
Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang cites full-time schooling and the return of tourism as measures to boost the local economy. The other frontrunner, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, highlighted the need to fill holes in the city's workforce.
We don't have an employment problem. We have a real skills problem. I'm going to fill that gap.
And civil rights attorney Maya Wiley highlighted the need to respond to an uneven recovery across New York.
It's time we recover, all of us, because that's what we have not done in the past.
Meantime, city controller Scott Stringer found himself again answering questions about sexual misconduct allegations made by a former campaign volunteer.
And I'm happy to answer every part of this. I take it very seriously. My wife is a survivor. We've had long conversations about it, but this is an allegation that's not true.
The topic of policing was also front and center, with Andrew Yang and Eric Adams emerging as the most moderate voices on the issue. Yang once again emphasized the importance of New York City police.
And let me be clear, defund the police is the wrong approach for New York City. We need to evolve to a 21st century form of policing.
It's an issue likely to take center stage in the lead up to New York City's Democratic primary. The vote is set for June 22nd.
New coming up on Wall Street today, we get economic data on retail sales. Forecasts call for an advance of 1% in April. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
America's economy is on the mend. The prior month's retail gain, almost 10%, was the second largest since 1992, reflecting the latest round of federal pandemic aid. And it'll be hard to beat. Even so, Bloomberg Economics says impact of the $1,400 government checks help support April spending, too. Look for positive U.S. auto sales data. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. We get more on the state of the economy later this morning in a live interview with Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester. She speaks with Bloomberg Radio and Television right after that retail sales reading at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
On the corporate front this morning, shares of Disney are down more than 3% this morning after its streaming service attracted fewer customers than expected. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has the story.
Despite the release of popular titles like Marvel's WandaVision, there's been a big slowdown in the recent growth at Disney+. The entertainment giant reported 103.6 million streaming customers at the end of last quarter, but that was shy of the more than 110.3 that analysts were looking for. Elsewhere, Disney announced a new seven-year deal to show Major League Baseball on Thursdays, and on the call, executives said looser mask rules for vaccinated people may boost its parks division. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 146, NASDAQ futures up 138, and the 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 1.63%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%, NYMEX crude oil on the rise up 0.9% or 59 cents at $64.42 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.90 at $1,833.90 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
...607 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Biden administration has issued a second waiver of U.S. shipping requirements as it seeks to get more fuel to the East Coast in the wake of the Colonial Pipeline shutdown. The waiver gives the company a limited exemption from the Jones Act, which requires that goods transported between American ports be carried on domestically built ships. Colonial says it has restarted operations following a ransomware attack. Former DHS Assistant Secretary for Counterterrorism and Threat Prevention, Elizabeth Newman, says these kind of attacks are on the rise.
Bob, it was a huge quarter for you. You reopened Disneyland, finally. 2020, there was over $350 million that was paid out in ransomware attacks. So it's a lucrative business. It's growing. There's over 300% more attacks in 2020 than the year prior.
We apologize for the audio problems. Newman spoke to ABC. Bloomberg News is reporting that Colonial Pipeline paid nearly $5 million to Eastern European hackers. President Biden will meet today with six immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children who benefit from an Obama-era policy that protected them from deportation. Biden wants Congress to pass legislation on the DACA program. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized some House Republicans who tried to downplay the January 6th Capitol riot. Congressman Andrew Klein of Georgia called the riot, quote, a normal tourist visit. On Capitol Hill, Speaker Pelosi said it is not a normal day when a mob threatens to hang the vice president and constructs a gallows on Capitol Hill.
It was beyond denial. It fell into the range of sick.
Pelosi also says Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene may face consequences after the Washington Post reported Greene aggressively confronted Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House chamber. Greene reportedly accused Ocasio-Cortez of supporting Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Pelosi responded.
It's so beyond the pale that you wonder, is this? It probably is a matter for the Ethics Committee.
Pelosi called Green's actions beneath the dignity of a member of Congress. Former President Donald Trump expects to resume rallies with two events next month and one around the 4th of July. A person familiar with his plan says Trump's team is still determining the venues for the rally. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg QuickTake. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, here's John Stashower with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Knicks are in the playoffs. It's no worse than the sixth seed in the East. They'd rather not be the sixth seed. That means playing a good team like Milwaukee in the first round. Ideally, the Knicks finish fourth, have home court advantage. They're in a battle with Atlanta and Miami, who both won last night, so the Knicks win was significant. 102-98 over San Antonio at the Garden, a game where the Spurs made their first 12 shots of the second half and went ahead by 17. The Knicks came back, led by Alec Burks. He scored 30, 16 in the fourth quarter. The Knicks close out the regular season with home games tomorrow against Charlotte and then Sunday versus Boston. The Nets trying to overtake Philadelphia, finished first in the East, got help when the Sixers lost in Miami. The Nets have very winnable home games this weekend with Chicago and Cleveland. The Islanders got word their first Stanley Cup playoff game will be Sunday at noon in Pittsburgh. Yankees never in it at Tampa Bay. The Rays won 9-1. Austin Meadows had three hits, drove in four. Randy Arozarena with a three-run homer. The Yanks had only five hits. They were again without Gleyber Torres, who had COVID back in December, got fully vaccinated, still tested positive, joining three coaches and four staff members. GM Brian Cashman says the country should be aware of what's going on with the Yankees.
We are maybe a case study to some degree of, in some cases, curiosity for people who don't know that despite being vaccinated, you are really still, you know, potentially exposed. And then we can educate people, well, you know, your exposure is limited significantly. Not to getting the virus, but how the virus affects you.
Cashman said the Yankees are dealing with an aggressive COVID variant. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures up 24 points right now. Dow futures up 133. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning. They're up 137 points, or just about 1%. 10-year Treasury's up 7/32. The yield, 1.63. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We're going to end this week with sunshine and low 70s. We're going to start the weekend with sunshine and low 70s. By Sunday, chance for an afternoon shower or storm. Low 70s. Currently 54 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning with stocks as more tempered commodity prices help to ease concern about inflation risks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 24 points this morning. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures up 137 as well. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 1.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 51 cents at $64.33 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.80 at $18.33.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2109 against the dollar. British pound 1.4056 and the yen 109.38. And today we're watching for a report on April retail sales at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the import price index. Then industrial production's out at 9:15. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden took his biggest step yet toward declaring victory over the coronavirus pandemic. Public health officials said fully vaccinated Americans can ditch their masks in most settings, even indoors or in large groups. Israel says it is massing troops along the Gaza frontier and calling up 9,000 reservists ahead of a possible ground invasion of the Hamas-ruled territory. The stepped-up fighting came as violence erupted for a fourth night. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, but even more, an eighth vaccinated member on the team is tested positive for COVID. The Red Sox beat the A's 8-1. The Nationals and Giants were winners. In the NBA, the Knicks won. They are a half game behind Atlanta for the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:19 is the time now on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to keep an eye on Disney shares in the pre-market. Right now they are down more than 3.5% after the entertainment giant came in with second quarter earnings that beat estimates, but that Disney Plus number is looking like a bit of a minus this morning. Let's get the view of Tuna Amobi, telecom media and tech analyst at CFRA. Tuna, good morning. Is the Disney Plus shortfall the big story for you this morning?
Good morning, Nathan. Indeed, I think there's a lot of attention on the subscriber number, the streaming number, and rightly so. So those numbers came in a little bit on the soft side. We think that had to do more or less with some pull forward impact from the robust, additions that we saw last year. We saw the same thing play out with Netflix. But that being said, I think there is a lot of, positive takeaways in our mind. You know, if you look at the legacy businesses, there's definitely a reopening that's starting to take hold, whether it's the theaters, or the theme parks, live sports, all of those coming back. So we would actually, view this past quarter as somewhat of a reset, where we expect now some type of acceleration for the second fiscal half of the year as we kind of look forward to the reopening.
How do you see the streaming path moving forward, though, as we come out of the pandemic? There had been some thought that there was going to be a need to shift strategy among many entertainment companies with, cutting the cord and that sort of thing. Where do you see things going when it comes to streaming competition?
Well, there is no question that the pandemic has accelerated the cord cutting that you alluded to. What the pandemic also accelerated is this streaming habits of consumers. So there's been a structural change that has benefited not just Disney Plus, but virtually just about everyone else out there, including Netflix and some of the new entrants through the pandemic. So the way we see it is that the addressable runway for streaming has been significantly expanded. And remember, a lot of international markets are still way underpenetrated. And what we're seeing now is some type of what I might call a digestion phase where investors are just kind of recalibrating their expectations. The pandemic is cycling its way through. But at the end of the day, our thesis for the longer term growth of streaming remains intact. And arguably Disney Plus is as well positioned as any other company to benefit from that.
I want to talk a little bit more about something you mentioned earlier, growth potentially in the theme park and entertainment business. Is that going to be something that Disney needs to lean into more as it comes out of the pandemic?
Well, they have to, Nathan, because those businesses remain cash cows and they're throwing off hundreds of millions of, billions of dollars in some cases of operating cash flow to fund the investments in streaming. So as those businesses begin to turn the corner, you're going to see, cash flow accelerate and you're going to see streaming losses very importantly peak this year. And when those losses peak and the company expects to turn profitable in streaming by fiscal 2024, that's when you see earnings power of the company significantly accelerate, which we expect will happen, potentially tripling or quadrupling their earnings power by fiscal 2024. Disney right now trading at a huge premium valuation, which we think is warranted. And a lot of that will have to do with how they successfully execute this streaming strategy.
Only got about a minute left here, but of course, before the pandemic, Disney was seen as such a powerhouse just on content alone after the purchase of the 21st Century Fox Entertainment Holdings. Does it move back into that position of dominance as we start to emerge from lockdowns?
Well, Disney's content pipeline is simply the envy of its peers. They're looking to spend about $8 billion in content spending by fiscal 24, which would quadruple about $2 billion they're spending today. It kind of gives you an idea of how content spending has ratcheted up, and this is really a rat race where all of these new entrants are trying to, break through the clutter, and Disney's pipeline has never been more robust to withstand, that competition.
So just quickly, do you still see Disney shares as a buy?
We have a 12-month target of $220, which we maintain after the earnings. And we think, again, the premium valuation will be justified by the growth and pivoting that we see from traditional to streaming business.
Thanks, Tuna. Tuna Omobi, analyst at CFRA. And again, looking at Disney shares right now, priced at about $171. That is a drop in the pre-market of 3.7%. Stocks as a whole moving higher on this Friday morning. S&P futures are up almost 25 points. Dow futures up 140. NASDAQ futures up 140. That's a gain of almost 1.1%. 10-year Treasury is higher by 6/32. The yield 1.63. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine, low 70s today, sunshine, low 70s tomorrow, sunshine Sunday, but then the chance for an afternoon shower or storm, low 70s. 54 right now.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The fighting between Israel and the Palestinians is escalating. Israeli warplanes have now been joined by ground forces in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas militants continue to launch rockets into Israel. Bloomberg's international editor Roz Matheson has the latest.
The U.S. and other countries are urging both sides to de-escalate. There are delegations there, including from the U.S., trying to find a way to negotiate a ceasefire. But the key point is that even if they do manage to get a ceasefire, how do you stop the violence that's occurring inside Israel itself right now?
Bloomberg's Roz Matheson says more than 100 Palestinians and several Israelis have been killed.
And back here in the U.S., there's encouraging news on the fight against the pandemic with new CDC guidance on masks. We get the details from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
In its basic form, mask removal outdoors or indoors if you are fully vaccinated. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
So if you're vaccinated in those settings, you certainly could wear a mask if you wanted to, but we are saying in those settings, based on the science, that it is safe.
She says improvements in vaccination rates have also helped. So this leaves employers scrambling and businesses like restaurants and retail shops not knowing if non-wearers have been vaccinated. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. Meantime, President Biden may be making progress in negotiations on his infrastructure plan. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, an Oval Office meeting to negotiate President Biden's infrastructure proposal left Republican senators encouraged about the prospects for a deal. Shelley Moore Capital of West Virginia called the discussion very productive, and Biden expressed hope. Now, while there's broad GOP opposition to Biden's plan and his tax increases, Republican leaders said they also see some middle ground. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, shares of Disney are down 3.8% this morning. That's after the streaming service Disney Plus attracted fewer customers than expected. Still, CEO Bob Chapek tells us he's happy with the results.
We met the expectations that we've set out for ourselves to hit the 230 to 260 million households that we guided to back in December. So far, this first two quarters of the year, we've added 30 million households.
A lack of new programming's made it harder for Disney to grab new subscribers, while COVID delays have taken a toll on production.
And S&P futures are up 25 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Democratic primary race that will likely decide the next mayor of New York City is getting serious. All eight candidates debated last night on New York One. Crime and public safety were major topics. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang is clinging to front runner status.
When I talk to New Yorkers on the street, you tell me that you are most concerned about three things: public safety, jobs, and fighting poverty. We can deliver on these three things. We can reduce homelessness by 50% or more, get our schools open, and get our people back to work.
Yang debated another mayoral candidate, Catherine Garcia.
I'm running for mayor because I love this city and have a vision for creating a more livable city, a city that's affordable, where you can raise your family on a paycheck, a safe city, regardless of the color of your skin.
Catherine Garcia. Comptroller Scott Stringer denied a sexual misconduct allegation from a one-time campaign volunteer. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, a former police officer, has seen his standing rise amid concern over a spike in shootings during the coronavirus pandemic. The primary is June 22nd. The Biden administration has issued a second waiver of U.S. shipping requirements as it seeks to get more fuel to the East Coast in the wake of the Colonial Pipeline shutdown that caused gas stations to run dry. The waiver, announced late last night, gives an unnamed company a limited exemption from the Jones Act, which requires that goods transported between American ports be carried on domestically built ships with an American crew. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized some House Republicans who tried to downplay the January 6th Capitol riot. Congressman Andrew Clyde of Georgia called the riot, quote, a normal tourist visit. On Capitol Hill, Speaker Pelosi called the denials sick.
Well, I don't know on a normal day around here when people are threatening to hang the Vice President of the United States or shoot the Speaker in the forehead or disrupt and injure so many police officers.
Speaker Pelosi also says Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene may face consequences for her actions. The Washington Post reports Greene aggressively confronted Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House chamber over her support of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Former President Trump is once again hitting the rally circuit. According to a person familiar with the matter, Trump is expected to resume rallies with two events next month and one around the 4th of July. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Native.
Thanks, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshire with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Knicks will know by Sunday who they will face in their first playoff series in 8 years. They could be seeded fourth, fifth, or sixth. They are in a battle with Atlanta and Miami, who both won last night. So did the Knicks. 102-98 over San Antonio at the Garden. Coach Tom Thibodeau was asked what he told his team when they fell behind in the third quarter by 17.
Just keep working the game. It's a long game, 48-minute game. There's going to be runs in it both ways. And stay even keel, but just keep fighting. You got to fight for the entire time, and there's no substitute for hustle. So if you hustle, you can make anything happen.
Gibbs got 25 points from Julius Randle. R.J. Barrett scored 24, but the real hero was Alec Burks, who had only played two of the previous 13 games. He was on the COVID list and then injured. Burks scored 30, 16 in the fourth quarter. Speaking of COVID, the Yankee list grew to 8 with the confirmation of Gleyber Torres' positive test, even though Torres not only was vaccinated, he had COVID 6 months ago. He's the first player in this outbreak that has hit three coaches and four staff members. As for the game, Yanks failed to get the sweep at Tampa Bay. The Rays won 9-1. Jameson Taillon took the loss, fell to 1-3. Yanks had only five hits. They played tonight in Baltimore. It's the Mets who play at Tampa Bay. Mets have won their last seven. PGA Tour is in Dallas. That's where Jordan Spieth is from. He shot 63. He shares the first-round lead. The Preakness tomorrow in Baltimore with 10 horses, including Medina Spirit, who as of now is still the Kentucky Derby winner, though that could change pending further drug testing. He's the favorite with Concert Tour, who, like Medina Spirit, is trained by Bob Baffert. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks reporter Kriti Gupta. And Kriti, I've been waiting all week to say this to you. Green on the screen.
Yeah, and it was green on the screen yesterday, too, especially thanks to those big tech shares. I just want to take a look at how they're doing in the pre-market. Let's start off with Tesla, because, of course, Elon Musk is always in the news. Only natural to start off with Tesla shares, ticker TSLA. Shares up just shy of 3% in the pre-market. And you're seeing that across the board here with all the big tech names, even social media names like Twitter. Ticker TWTR shares up about 2% there as well. And then even like like the bigger, the mega tech companies. Google, for example, shares up 1.25% in the pre-market, and Apple up over 1% as well. So it really tells you that big tech is coming back with a vengeance, it seems. Even the chips are coming back as well. For example, Advanced Micro Devices, ticker AMD, up 1.8%. Applied Materials, AMAT, if you will, up 1.8% as well. And lastly, NVIDIA, 1.5%. Nathan, really quickly, though, I do want to hit on some earnings stories from yesterday, because you are seeing some of the action continue today. Disney sliding in the pre-market after their second quarter subscribers missed estimates yesterday, down over 3% in the pre-market. You've got DoorDash up 6.6%, really thriving off some of those restaurant reopenings here in the States. And, of course, Coinbase higher as well, ticker COIN, up 3.4%.
All right, so tech's leading the charge this morning. How are the cyclicals doing?
Yeah, I mean, those were the ones that really got hit hard yesterday. And it wasn't just, you know, energy names. It was the likes of airlines and cruise lines as well. Today, doing much, much better. For example, you have Norwegian Cruise Lines, ticker NCLH, up 1.7% in the pre-market. You already see, like, some risk-taking coming back a little bit. Even some of the airlines, Delta, for example, up 1.2%, ticker DAL. Boeing, for example, up 1.1%. Even some of the energy names that you're seeing, Occidental, really thriving here this morning, 2.4% higher in the pre-market, OXY, and even Exxon, ticker XOM, is higher this morning.
All right, Bloomberg Stocks reporter Kriti Gupta, thank you for the roundup. Let's get to some other stories we're watching this morning. Kriti mentioned the chip names. The worldwide shortage of semiconductors has gotten worse for the auto industry. According to the consulting firm Alex Partners, the lack of chips is going to cost automakers $110 billion in lost sales. That's up from a previous estimate of $61 billion. Almost 4 million fewer cars are going to be built this year. That is more than 4% of the projected total. Kansas City Southern is going to accept a revised $33.6 billion takeover offer from Canadian National Railway. Still, the American Railroad will give its other suitor, Canadian Pacific, till May 21st to come up with a higher bid. At stake, a rail network that stretches across Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Stocks as a whole, moving higher this morning, led by tech shares. NASDAQ futures up 1%, up 132 points. Dow futures up 141. S&P futures up 24.5 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny this morning, partly sunny this afternoon, low 70s, partly to mostly sunny tomorrow, Saturday high in the low 70s, Sunday chance for an afternoon shower or storm, low 70s once again, 54 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now, with Dow futures up 142 points. S&P's gained 24. NASDAQ futures rise by 133. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.63%. Gold is up 7. And Japan rose 2.3% overnight. Well, European markets are also in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 10 o'clock, business inventories and Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Disney's streaming subscribers and revenue fell short of estimates. Stock is down 4% in the pre-market. Coinbase revenue missed, and Airbnb had a wider-than-expected loss. In deal news, Kansas City Southern will accept Canadian National's revised $33.6 billion offer, and Tyson Foods is selling its pets treats business to General Mills for $1.2 billion. Wrapping things up, AMC Networks was raised to neutral at Goldman Sachs. Lumentum cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Karen, thank you very much. Fully vaccinated Americans can safely ditch their masks in most cases, even indoors and in large crowds. That's the new sweeping guidance released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Israeli troops are establishing tanks and artillery lines in the Gaza Strip, signaling a sharp escalation in the conflict between Hamas and the Israeli Defense Force. Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu says that the operation is meant to exact a, quote,
very heavy price from Hamas. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, but even more, an eighth vaccinated member on the team has tested positive for COVID. The Red Sox beat the A's 8-1. The Nationals and Giants were winners. In the NBA, the Knicks won. They are a half game behind Atlanta for the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Housing could be inflation's hidden danger. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. April's Consumer Price Index data shocked Wall Street, with a 0.8% jump in headline CPI and a 0.9% surge in the core measure from a month earlier. However, a metric called owner's equivalent rent, which is meant to reflect housing price appreciation, increased just 0.2%. Year over year, it rose 2%. This is at odds with just about any measure of the housing market. Data from the National Association of Realtors this week showed that the median price for a single-family home in the U.S. rose 16.2% in the first quarter from the same period in 2020, the most on record. This kind of wide discrepancy, unseen since the mid-2000s housing bubble, could have significant consequences for reported inflation statistics and monetary policy. As the U.S. embarks on an unprecedented and untested economic recovery, owner's equivalent rent should receive extra scrutiny in future CPI reports. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Republicans seeing signs of a deal on infrastructure after meeting with President Biden at the White House. Conservative Congressman Chip Roy challenging New York's Elise Stefanik in today's House leadership vote. And former President Donald Trump planning to resume his trademark rallies next month. Also making news, a big step toward declaring victory for President Biden over the pandemic with the CDC's latest mask guidance. Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins joins me now. And Emily, I think it's safe to say a lot of Americans breathed a mask-free sigh of relief yesterday when they heard that guidance from the Centers for Disease Control. But really, this does have some pretty strong political implications for President Biden as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, Nathan, I mean, yesterday it was news, I think, that a lot of people have been waiting for a long time. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was quoted saying free at last to reporters after he got the news from the CDC. President Biden, when he got into office, he sort of made it clear that his top priority was getting individuals vaccinated, beating the coronavirus, just really sort of bringing America through to the other side of this pandemic, obviously an effort that started with vaccines under President Trump, but President Biden sort of gets to see through here to the end and sort of getting, as President Biden noted, you know, there were some thoughts that they might not be able to ask people to allow them to take off their masks until in the summer or in the fall. To have this accomplished now, the Biden administration is claiming a huge victory. They believe that this bodes really well for their prospects in the upcoming midterms. As sort of, they're hoping to be remembered sort of as the ones who helped get America through this difficult time.
Although it does have to be said, it was just a few weeks ago that the director of the CDC was saying that she was literally scared by how the pandemic was going. And now it seems like a 180 shift. I mean, is there a risk of mixed messaging clouding the political prospects here?
You know, there's been so much messaging on the coronavirus, on mask wearing, on what you're supposed to be doing. And here in D.C., a lot of us have been wearing masks, and so this news was kind of a big deal. In other parts of the country, already people who have been vaccinated have stopped wearing masks. There's been just sort of a general decline in mask wearing as people have gotten vaccinated. So I think this hits different areas of the country a little differently. There has sort of been, on the whole, a lot of confusion sometimes around the CDC messaging, in part because this is the first time that we've had to deal with something at this scale on a pandemic. But I think, you know, the President Biden is trying to now get out the message that if you are vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask, which also in that messaging provides an incentive for those who are not yet vaccinated to go ahead and consider getting the shot.
We're also hearing some positive messaging coming out of the White House after the latest infrastructure talks with Republicans.
Yeah, so President Biden met yesterday with six Senate Republicans. This came after he sat down with the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, as well as the House Republican Leader Kevin McCarthy, as well as the Democrat and the Democrat leaders in the House and the Senate. So lots of bipartisan meetings this week. Republican senators told us that they were encouraged about the prospects for a deal. Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia said the talks were very productive and they were very encouraged. Of course, there's still a lot of question about what's going to happen here with to pay for it. Republicans have been really clear that they do not want any of the tax increases that President Biden has proposed. They passed their own tax bill in 2017. They don't want to see that undone. So there's a little bit of a question about exactly how they're going to pay for this. One thing that President Biden has proposed that's not in that tax bill is bolstering the IRS's capacity to do audits and investigate wealthy individuals and corporations. The Biden administration has estimated that that bolstering of the IRS will bring in as much as $700 billion over 10 years, although there is reason to believe that that number is a little on the optimistic side.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but we have another House Republican leadership vote coming up today. What's the latest on that?
So this is going to be to replace Liz Cheney as conference chair. Elise Stefanik, Republican from New York, is the clear frontrunner here. Republican from Texas, Chip Roy, has also tossed his hat in the ring, but President Trump kind of smacked it down last night in a statement saying, no, he wants Stefanik, and the conference is at this point, from what we can tell from our reporting, prepared to make sure that she's conference chair when they meet at 8:30.
All right. Emily Wilkins, Bloomberg government reporter, will look forward to that vote coming up then in just a couple of hours. You can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT annually connects more than 1,700 tech-savvy students with the world's top industry employers through co-ops and internships. Learn more at njit.edu/CDS. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Environmental Protection Agency is revoking a Trump-era rule that overhauled how the agency evaluates air pollutants. It's a move the Biden administration says will make it easier to enact limits on dangerous and climate-changing emissions. EPA found the previous rule issued imposed procedural restrictions and other requirements that would have limited its ability to use the best available science in developing regulations under the Clean Air Act. The worldwide shortage of semiconductors has gotten worse for the auto industry. According to the consulting firm Alix Partners, the lack of chips will cost automakers $110 billion in lost sales. That's up from a previous estimate of $61 billion. Almost 4 million fewer cars will be built this year. And when London's Science Museum reopens next week, it'll have some new artifacts, empty vaccine vials, testing kits, and other items collected during the pandemic to be featured in a new COVID-19 exhibition. Britain isn't quite ready to devote the coronavirus to a museum, but there is a definite feeling that the UK has turned a corner. Deaths in Britain have come down to single digits in recent days. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. S&P futures up 25 points this morning. Dow futures up 154. NASDAQ futures up 131. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 1.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 72 cents at $64.54 a barrel. And the euro 1.2112 against the dollar. Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.